You are listening to the Living Hope International Ministries Weekly Bible Teaching Podcast. For more information, visit us online at lhim.org.
We're going to talk about redemption today. In the next couple of weeks, we'll talk about the birth of Christ. And I think that focusing on the reason Jesus was born and lived the way he lived and gave his life the way he did and God raising him from the dead was so that we could have redemption. And that's what I'd like to focus on this morning with you, is on the subject of redemption. And in order to do that, it's important for us to acknowledge redemption means, you know, that there's a change, that there's a transformation. We were one way and now we become another way. So in order to appreciate that, we must understand who we were before we were redeemed, who we were, who and what we did, who we were and what we did, and why we were the way we were, and how there then, after understanding who we were, what we did, and why we were the way we were, then we'll look at the transformation and what we are now today, what God has made us today through Christ. What did Christ accomplish for us in this thing called redemption? We're going to start in Romans chapter 3, if you'd like to read along in your Bible. In Romans chapter 3, I want to focus on briefly on the subject matter of who we are before we have Christ in our life. And this section in Romans chapter 3 is sort of a summary of humanity apart from Christ, those who don't have Christ in their life. This is God's description. Whether or not people agree with it or disagree with it has nothing to do with it. This is what God says we are before we have Christ in our life. It says in verse 10, As it is written, there is none righteous. There is none righteous, not even one. That's where we were. We were not righteous. None of us were. Verse 11, there is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. For all have turned aside together. They have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Now, from the point of view of humanity, people will say that so-and-so did such a, you know, he's a good person, she's a good person. You know, they've accomplished this, they've accomplished that in the world, and they don't have God in their life. They don't have Christ in their life. That's a human perspective on the good deeds of humanity. God's perspective is there is none righteous, no, not one. No one has done anything good apart from Christ, who we just read. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Their throat is, except for you. You're the only exception. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they deceive. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths, and the path of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. This is the summation of what humanity is apart from Christ. Now, some of us manifested this different ways in our lives, but nonetheless, that's who we were. It says in Ephesians, you would please turn to that, Ephesians chapter 2, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians chapter 2. As people in that state, well, what did we do? What was our activity in life? It says in Ephesians chapter 2 that you were dead in trespasses and sins. Before Christ, you're dead in trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. Before Christ, what we were, as I described in Romans, or was described in Romans 3, now what we do in that state is we walk according to the course of the world. The world influences how we behave. And according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience, that's talking about the devil. We walked according to the course of this world. We walked according to the satanic influences that are upon us. Oblivious to that fact, we might not have ever known that. I never thought of that. No one ever told me that. But nonetheless, that's what God says, and that's what it was. That's what I did. I walked according to the course of this world and according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. And then it goes on to say in verse 3 that among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. The very way in which people live, that we're born dead in trespasses and sins, we live a very self-centered life. We make decisions based on what we want. We live according to the lust of the flesh, the lust of our own, our lust being our own desires, and not God's desires, but our own desires, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And by our very nature, we were the children of God, of wrath. We were going to endure the wrath of God, which means that we would not have eternal life, that we would have eternal damnation. This is the state of humanity apart from Christ. That's who we were. That's what we did. Now, the question that comes up to me is, why? Why am I in that state as a human being? Look at 1 Corinthians. Go back a couple of books. Right after Romans is Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I just wanted to cheer you up today by giving you this information. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it's important, it's kind of vital to understand why we are the way we are if we ever want to change. If you don't acknowledge, even today as Christians, if you don't acknowledge you have character defects or you have a sinful lifestyle or there's something wrong about you, if you don't know it, which is where most people are who don't have Christ in their life, they don't know the description that I just read. If they don't know it, if you don't know it, then you can't change. You know, cancer is a treatable thing if we find it early enough. The problem that most of us deal with is that we don't find it early enough. Same thing with most sicknesses and diseases and mental problems and character defects. If we could identify them as such, then we have a shot at changing them. Nothing guarantees that we will, but you have a much better shot if you know you got a problem rather than not knowing you have a problem. Well, this was the problem of humanity, everybody's problem. Everybody was born dead in trespasses and sins. And according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 21, the reason for this is, for since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, so also in Christ will all be made alive. Look at verse 45. We are all descendants, all humans are descendants of Adam. 45 says, so also it is written that the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man, Adam, is from the earth, earthly. The second man is from heaven. We have a connection, all of us as humans, we are connected with Adam. We are descendants of Adam. Adam and Eve were the first two people. We're all descendants of them. It doesn't matter what your race is or your nationality or your gender. We're all descendants of Adam and Eve. And as a result of that, we all come into the world dead in trespasses and sins. You didn't do anything wrong before you were born to be born this way. It's just that that's the way everybody is born. Go to Romans chapter 5. This elaborates on it in more detail, this connection that we have with Adam. In Romans chapter 5, in verse 12, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, through Adam, sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread upon all men, because all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who have not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who was a type of him who was to come. None of us sinned before we were born. We've been busy since then, but not before then, right? We were born dead in trespasses and sins because as human beings, we are connected to Adam. It's our, the very nature of us is this way. You know, the nature of a dog, dogs like people, generally speaking, most dogs, some dogs, most dogs like people. You know, that's their nature, is to be friendly with people. I think they pretty much use people to eat and stuff, but nonetheless, they're friendly to people. Now, the nature of a lion is quite different than the nature of a dog. There are times in life where a dog may act like a lion and a lion may act like a dog. But if that should happen, that's queer. According to the dictionary, the word queer means it's odd, it's different, it's not right, it's there's something wrong here. That's what the word queer originally means in Old English. It's not right, it's whacked out. Well, as human beings, our nature was this sinful thing being connected with Adam. And as a result of that, yeah, we did good things every once in a while, but it was kind of queer. Because our nature is to be self-centered and to be all about ourselves and not being good. I put up here on the screen the outline of this chapter 5, and we're going to get back to it in more detail later, but just this is as humans, here's what it says in verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world and death through sin, so death spread upon all men, inclusive of women, because all have sinned. Verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam. Verse 15, for if by the transgression of one, the many died. Verse 16, judgment arose from one transgression resulting in condemnation. We're all born condemned. Verse 17, for if by the transgression of one, death reigned even through the one. Verse 18, through one transgression, there resulted condemnation to all men. And verse 19, through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. I did absolutely nothing wrong to be born this way, except to be a part of the human race, and I had nothing to do with any of it. Neither did you. But that is the reality. And if you don't, you know, we have to understand that this is our plight in life. Look at Romans chapter 3. So, what can we do to fix this problem? The answer is absolutely nothing. You can't fix yourself. If you're dead, spiritually dead, then if you're not able to fix yourself. It had to be done for us. The reason that Jesus was born, the reason that Jesus lived, the reason that Jesus died, and the reason that God raised him from the dead is to fix our problem so that we could be a new person with a new life and have a new beginning. It says in Romans chapter 3, after we read those verses where it gives this description of humanity, it says in chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. We are given the gift because of what Jesus did on the cross, dying for us. He took our place. He suffered the consequences of our wrong so that we could now be justified. It was done for us, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. And I think most of you understand that the word redemption, the implications of the word redemption is that it's compared to someone who is kidnapped, and the kidnappers are saying to the person that is concerned about the one who's kidnapped, you have to pay a ransom so this person could be set free. The one you love could be set free. In the same sense, redemption is, we were under the control of the devil, these things that we just read. We were owned by him, And Jesus was the ransom. He was the one who paid the price. His death was the price that was paid so that we could be freed, redeemed from this evil world and this evil situation in which we were. That's what redemption is all about. Look at Galatians chapter 1. Yeah, Galatians chapter 1. Corinthians, Galatians chapter 1. Verse 4, who gave himself for our sins, so that he, 1:4, who gave himself, Jesus gave himself for our sins, that he might rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of God and our Father. We have been rescued from this present evil age because of what Jesus did for us. Look at I'm having a hard time reading my notes. Did that ever happen to you? I got it. Ephesians 1. You remember the time you lost your glasses and you ran all around the house looking? I know I left them here, I left them there. And of course, the car's running and you got to get to the car and you're looking all over the... Yeah, and you know where they are, right? Yes. They're on the top of your head. That's me sometimes. Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption. In him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. Again, it says it in Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, chapter 1. We have been redeemed because of what Jesus did for us. We are now different. We have been set free. In Colossians chapter 1, in verse 13, for he rescued us, here's that phrase again, he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption for the forgiveness of sins. Now we have been redeemed. We have been rescued. We're not the same people. Life has changed. Things are a whole lot different. Go back to 1 Corinthians. Is that you, Jim? It's Karen. Throw her out. Get... Oh, I know who it is. I can see the red face. That's never happened to me either. No, it has. So let's go back to... First Corinthians chapter 1. Somebody read my notes and tell me what to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now that we have been redeemed... This is our reality. 1:30. By God's doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. Because of what Jesus did for us, because of the redemption that we have in him, we are now righteous. We are now right with God. We are now just, justification. As if we didn't sin, with the sin is put on him, we're now free and innocent. We are now, it says elsewhere, that we are sanctified in him. Sanctified meaning we're set apart from the rest of the world. We are now a part of the family of God. We are made holy in Christ Jesus. We are God's chosen ones now. We are a child of God. We are kings and priests in training for the day that Christ comes back. This is who we are now. This is who I am. This is who you are. We are no longer that person that was described in Romans chapter 3 and Ephesians chapter 2. We are different people now. And we need to claim that. It's ours. Look at 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 14 says, "For the love of Christ controls us or constrains us or compels us, having concluded this, that one died for all, Jesus died for all, therefore all died, and he who died for all, so that we who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf." Verse 16, "Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer." Verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a" what? "New creature" or "new creation." He is a new creation, a new person. "The old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." This is now our reality. The church epistles explain to us what Christ did, what he accomplished for us, the gift that is now given to us, making us who we are now as the redeemed ones, righteous, justified, sanctified, glorified, chosen members of the family of God, a part of God's family, loved by God, among the people of God. This is who we are now. And yet there are times we might not feel that way. It doesn't change the reality of who we are. We are what God says we are. We have what God says we have. And we're going to be what God says we're going to be. We don't want to argue with God. But sometimes we argue with ourselves. Many years ago, when Mimi and I first got started in the ministry, I brought someone home to the... I think he was living with us. I brought home a lot of stray people. And in the house we were in, all of a sudden I hear Mimi yelling from downstairs, "Vince, get down here, get down here." So I go running downstairs, and the guy that I had brought there that I was trying to help, he was on the ground on all fours, barking. And Mimi says, "He thinks he's a dog. He thinks he's a dog." And, you know, he looked up at me, "Woof, woof, 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 woof." And, you know, he thought he was a dog. And there was no convincing him differently. He really thought he was a dog. So I had to take him for a walk out of the... He couldn't stay in our house. Remember this, honey? I'm sure you do. Huh? No, that was a different guy. That was another guy that was going to... he was going to jump up and catch an airplane, yeah. Like I said, we brought home a lot of different people. You know, as much as he barked and as much as he thought he was a dog, he was not a dog. He was a human being. He was a human being who thought he was a dog, but he really wasn't a dog. And no matter how much he barked, no matter how much he crawled around on all fours, he was still a human being. And, you know, no matter how you feel, no matter how you think, you are what God says you are. And you have to embrace what God says. I also thought of this is that when my children, my boys, when they were younger, very young, when they were small, I would come home from work and before supper or after supper, we would, the three of us would wrestle around, or the two of us would wrestle around. And one of the ways, I guess it was after supper, one of the ways that we would get the kids to put their pajamas on, so we had our sons had a Superman pajamas. So the two of my sons we would be wrestling around and I would be beating them and they would yell, "Go get your Superman outfit on." You remember this day? "Go get your Superman outfit on." And he would go running into the room, he'd put his Superman outfit on and he'd come running out and... And then he would come and jump on me and throw me down, and then the three of them would get back on top of me. I'm not going to tell you which one of my sons was Superman. It was the youngest son. But In that moment, he felt like he was Superman. Was he Superman? No, he wasn't. He was just a little boy that thought he was Superman. And I remember Grace's little boy thinking he's Spider-Man because he's got the Spider-Man outfit. He's not really Spider-Man. He's really a little boy. We, you know, and it's silly illustrations, but the reality of life is we are not who we once were. That's not who we are. That comes into our minds sometimes. It's sometimes how we feel. It's sometimes how we think. But it's not the truth. We need to embrace the reality that we are a new creation in Christ. I am not the same. And I have to refute my thoughts that tell me I am. When I feel like I am less than, I am no good, there's something wrong with me, I have to say no. In the name of Jesus Christ, I am what God made me to be. I am His Son. I am Almighty God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the most intelligent one, the one we were singing about with the billion stars, the one that put all of that in place, called you to be His daughter, to be His son. Stop arguing with Him. You, there's got to be something right about you. I also thought of, today, there are boys today that think they're girls. And there's girls today that think they're boys. There's boys that think, that they start acting like girls because they think they're girls. I have the feelings of girls. I have the desires of girls. I associate and I connect with girls, so therefore I'm a girl. No, you're not. Every chromosome in your body says you're a boy. What your mind says is one thing. What your body says is an entirely different thing. Or there's a girl that is absolutely convinced that she is a boy because she likes boy things, she has boy desires, and she does boy. But it doesn't change the reality that every chromosome in your body is female. And telling yourself you're something that you're not is not beneficial. You get that, right? I'm not being critical of anybody. This is just the reality. You see, and telling yourself that you're a loser, that you're no good, that you will never amount to anything, it's just not the truth. We have to believe what the Bible says about us. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what you like. It's a matter of the integrity of God's word and believing that God means what He says, and He says what He means. We are a new creation in Christ. Either that, or Christ died in vain in regards to you. Because you're not accepting what He accomplished for you, if you deny that. This is what He did so that you could be what you are in Him, not what you are in yourself. You're freed from that. So, go back to Romans chapter 12. Why the change? Or not Romans 12, Romans 5, verse 12. What happened so that there would be such a wonderful change for us? In Romans 5, 12, therefore, Romans 5, 12, one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin, so death spread to all men, because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who is to come. Adam is a type of him who is to come. The him is talking about Jesus. Adam is a type, an example of Jesus. How is Adam, who sinned and did all this stuff, how is he a type for Jesus in this way? We are all connected with Adam because we are descendants of Adam. It's not something you did. It's not something you did wrong. It's not something you did right. It had nothing to do with you. You were born in the human race, and as such, you are a descendant of Adam and Eve. And in the same way, if you accept Christ as your Lord, it's not something that you do or not something you can change yourself. It's just that you are connected with God through Christ. You are now a child of God. Just like you were a child of Adam, you are now a child of God. So in that way, Jesus is like Adam in that we're connected to him. Now, again, what did you do to be connected to Adam? Nothing. What could you do to be connected to Christ and to God? Nothing. Christ had to do it for you. He had to die on the cross for you so that you could be connected and be a part of the family of God. And in that way, he is a type of Jesus. Verse 15 says, but the free gift, it's a free gift, is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of one, the many died, much more then did the grace of God and the gift by grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression, resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions, resulting in the justification. For by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one. Much more, those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through Jesus Christ. And then it goes on to repeat this. Go to Galatians chapter 5, please. Galatians chapter 5. Maybe we look at chapter 6 first. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. May it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Paul's declaration, now we'll go back to chapter 5. Paul's declaration is, I'm dead to the world, I'm dead to who I was, and now I am new. We read in 2 Corinthians 5 that when Christ died, we died with him. When Christ got up, we got up with him. When Christ died, our old self died with him. When Christ got up, we have the new creation in us today. That's the fight, the struggle. There are times in life where I have flashbacks of the old Vince. There are times that I think of my sinful behavior. You know, the things that the person that I once was comes into my mind and influences, you know, what I'm doing at that point. What I have to do is I have to refute that. I have to claim that which is the truth from the Scripture. I can't tell myself, if I want to live the right way, I can't tell myself I'm something other than I am. Even if it was something I was before. You understand? When I look in the mirror, I still see the same dude. I look the same one way or the other. I see the same person. But according to what has happened in God and Christ, I'm not the same person. And I can't continue to embrace the thoughts that went along with what I see in the mirror. I need to, like it says in Corinthians, I need to turn from glory to glory. I need to keep my eyes on Christ and what Christ made me to be and reflect that in my life and not what I see in the mirror. That's the big fight in our life. That's the fight and the struggle that all of us have. It says in Galatians chapter 5, in verse 13, for you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that they may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And then it lists the deeds of the Spirit, or the deeds of the flesh, and the deeds of the law. This is the great conflict, the battlefield for the Christian is in him, in his or her mind. It's what we are willing to think about reality, what we are willing to think about who we are now. Who am I? What is your true belief about yourself? And I think it's imperative at times to be self-reflective. Really, how do I feel about myself? How do I think about myself? And if it's not in accordance with what the scriptures say, do something to change that. Start reading what the Bible says about you and start confessing that and acting accordingly in alignment with that, rather than the nonsense that your mind is telling you. Because God didn't plan this whole thing for Jesus to be born and to live and to die and to be raised and to ascend and to come back so that we would live defeated, negative lives today. He wants us as his children to be blessed, to live in a wonderful, harmonious relationship with him and with our fellow man. And we can do that if we claim what redemption made us to be. Who I am? I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. That's who I am. And that's the end of that. Amen. Father, we love you. We praise you. Thank you for what you've made us to be in Christ. Please help us to claim that and live accordingly. Guide us, direct us, lead us. We love you. We want to praise you. We want to honor you. We don't want to do anything other than live in accordance with what you made us to be. I thank you for helping us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening. Visit us at lhim.org, where you can access dozens of free classes, Bible teachings, and articles. Also, when you visit lhim.org, subscribe to receive email updates so you won't miss out on upcoming events. Until next week, keep loving God and your neighbor.